Harper Audio presents The Amazing Morris and His Educated Rodents by Terry Pratchett. Performed by Stephen Briggs.
Chapter 1. One day, when he was naughty, Mr. Bunsey looked over the hedge into Farmer Fred's field and saw it was full of fresh green lettuces. Mr. Bunsey, however, was not full of lettuces. This did not seem fair. From Mr. Bunsey Has an Adventure. Rats. They chased the dogs and bit the cats. But there was more to it than that. As the amazing Morris said, it was just a story about people and rats. And the difficult part of it was deciding who the people were and who were the rats. But Melissa Grimm said it was a story about stories. It began, part of it began, on the mail coach that came over the mountains from the distant cities of the plain. This was the part of the journey that the driver didn't like. The way wound through forests and around mountains on crumbling roads. There were deep shadows between the trees. Sometimes he thought things were following the coach, keeping just out of sight. It gave him the willies. And on this journey, the really big willy was that he could hear voices. He was sure of it. They were coming from behind him, from the top of the coach, and there was nothing there but the big oilcloth mail sacks and the young man's luggage. There was certainly nothing big enough for a person to hide inside, but occasionally he was sure he heard squeaky voices whispering. There was only one passenger at this point. He was a fair-haired young man, sitting all by himself inside the rocking coach and reading a book. He was reading slowly and aloud, and moving his finger over the words.
"Aberwald," he read aloud.
"That's Uberwald," said a small, squeaky but very clear voice. "The dots make it a sort of long oo sound, but you're doing well."
"Uberwald?
There's such a thing as too much pronunciation, kid," said another voice, which sounded half asleep. "But you know the best thing about Uberwald? It's a long, long way from Stolat. It's a long way from Pseudopolis. It's a long way from anywhere where the head of the watch says he'll have us boiled alive if he ever catches us. And it's not very modern. Bad roads. Lots of mountains in the way. People don't move about much up here, so news doesn't travel very fast, see? And they probably don't have policemen. Kid, we can make a fortune here."
"Morris," said the boy carefully.
"Yes, kid?"
"You don't think what we're doing is, you know, dishonest, do you?"
There was a pause before the voice said,
"How do you mean, dishonest?"
"Well, we take their money, Morris."
The coach rocked and bounced over a pothole.
"All right," said the unseen Morris, "but what you've got to ask yourself is, who do we take the money from, actually?"
"Well, it's generally the mayor or the city council or someone like that."
"Right. And that means it's..."
"What?"
"I've told you this bit before." "It is government money, kid," said Morris patiently. "Say it. Government money."
"Government money," said the boy obediently.
"Right. And what do governments do with money?"
They
play soldiers," said Morris. "They have wars. In fact, we probably stopped a lot of wars by taking the money and putting it where it can't do any harm. They'd put up statues to us if they thought about it."
"Some of those towns looked pretty poor, Morris," said the kid doubtfully.
"Hey, just the kind of places that don't need wars, then."
"Dangerous Beans says it's..."
The boy concentrated, and his lips moved before he said the word, as if he was trying out the pronunciation to himself.
It's unethical." "That's right, Morris," said the squeaky voice. "Dangerous Beans says we shouldn't live by trickery."
"Listen, Peaches, trickery is what humans are all about," said the voice of Morris. "They're so keen on tricking one another all the time that they elect governments to do it for them. We give them value for money."